This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
I thank you for joining us here today to WGOD Radio. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. I only have 1 minute for a quick update and introduction into this program. I invite you out to Island Community Church this weekend. If you're looking for a good church, for a church home, a new church home, if you're in search of one, I invite you to come out to Island. God's doing a great work there. We're a small congregation, but I'll tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord is moving there. I promise you, you're going to hear the word the same as what you hear here on this program. We're in Romans. We're looking in Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul's struggle and wrestling with sin when he cries out, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Matter of fact, that's my sermon title for this Sunday morning, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Look for the podcast on my website, WGODradio.com. That'll be uploaded on Sunday afternoon if you can't make it. Here now is the next part of this sermon here. Humility is the cure for worldliness.
It's Proverbs 6:16. As Darren taught me, he even says in there, a lying tongue twice. Out of the seven. I like that, brother. That was good. Got that written down in my wide margin Bible. I'd never seen that before. Okay, perfect setup for verse 5. It says, or do you think, again, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God, or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Now, I know the King James is a little more difficult, lusteth to envy. It's a little more difficult to understand there. That's why I chose the New King James for today. Do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So James is saying, do you think it's for no reason the Word of God says the Holy Spirit wants your love and devotion? Does the Bible say that in vain? Now that's my paraphrase, but I like it nevertheless. Do you think it's for no good reason the Holy Spirit yearns jealously for you? For your undivided attention and for your heart? Now don't get the wrong idea here with the word jealous. Again, I asked you earlier, did you know that God himself is jealous? Right in the Ten Commandments, you can read, God is a jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 5, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Hello, right? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. How about this one? Exodus 34, 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. That is a proper name for God, is jealous, with a capital J. His name is jealous. Certainly, we can ascertain that jealousy is not sin. If it's a proper name of God, you think? You will worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Wow. Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." All these verses are on the handout. Joshua 24:19, "Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins.'" Now, don't take that verse out of context. You've got to read the whole thing. That's not saying there's no forgiveness. But what does all this mean? This means that God will not stand idly by while you worship something or somebody else, or let something or someone else that's not of him steal away your affections. God is a jealous God. Ezekiel 39:25. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name." All right, we've established that doctrine, haven't we, now this morning? So to be jealous is not a sin. All right, what does this word mean? If this is an attribute of God, jealousy, then jealousy is a good thing and righteous when used the right way. I think the only one you can use us the right way with is Almighty God. I don't think anyone else can be jealous and it be right. I'd have to think about that one. I don't know how me being jealous could ever be good. But God is jealous and it's always good, because he is good and everything he does is good and perfect. And it says he's a jealous God. What does the word mean? Here's a good definition of the Old Testament word. The word is quanats, Q-A-N-A. It's number 7065 in the Strong's. Means to be jealous or zealous with a Z. I like that. Zealous. In every instance of this word, it is used to describe the character of the Lord. He is a jealous God who will not tolerate the worship of other gods. The word is always used to describe God's attitude toward the worship of false gods, which arouses his jealousy and anger in judgment against the idol worshipers. So once again, verse 5. The text says, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. This means that, like God did in the Old Testament, at the sight of the people of God involved in improper worship, so is the Holy Spirit of God jealous at believers who are worldly and live worldly lives and are friends with the world. God wants you to be consumed with him. God wants you to be consumed with him. Everyone understand that? Why jealous? Think about it the way we use that. A jealous husband. A jealous spouse. We hear it all the time, right? But we're sinners. Here we see the Holy Spirit is jealous. And what's he jealous about? What's God jealous over? You. Your affections. Your godliness or worldliness. James says the Holy Spirit in you yearns jealously. Then he says this in verse 6. He says, but, thank God for the but, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, now we're getting into the solution here for worldliness. Indeed, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, since he gives grace to the humble, verse 7, starts with the word therefore. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee. Of course, that would make the opposite true, right? Right? That would be take on the devil and he will stay. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What a great promise that is. draw near to God. We learn in Sunday school this morning how to do that. How do we do that? What's the word? Praise. How do you draw near to God? Praise Him. No matter where you are. Open up the Word. Read the Word. Praise Him. Put praise music on to draw into His presence. I guarantee you this. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Why? Because He says so in His Word. We're not speculating. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Two great promises. We draw near to Him and He'll draw near to us. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord or before Him and He will lift you up. So what's James' solution to worldliness? Submit to God. Now, submit means to yield, like a yield sign on a highway on-ramp. Yield. Hupotasso is the Greek word. Military word. Means to place yourself under in an orderly fashion. Fall in. Again, what's James' solution to worldliness? Submission to God. Say yes to God and no to sin. When you submit to God, then and only then, you can be like the Apostle Paul who said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Or, I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. When you submit to God, let Him live through you. Also, Colossians 1:27, it says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. I'm surprised by this solution. The solution to worldliness is submission to God. That is, I guess, God, I can't do this on my own. Or else, God, I like this, but you say it's bad. And I can't do this in your word. Therefore, I submit to you in obedience and not to the world. Because it's hard for me to draw the connection out of this. How can submission to God be the solution to worldliness? It's got to be that this world will attract you. And it's why He said you're an adulterer if you're friends with it. There's something in this world that wants you and is attracting you and drawing you, right? What did John say? Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with Him daily and is tuned in to His frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.